Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
For what will be the wrap-up of the 2015 NFL season and, of course, Super Bowl 50, the golden Super Bowl. Well, what I wanted to happen did happen. The Broncos winning. And Peyton Manning
going out as a winner.
Going out as a winner. Whether he'll stay out is the question. But
of course he'll stay out.
Yeah.
No, you don't get lured back to this.
Well, maybe not to the Broncos, but
Why? What's there to prove? What? I mean, he looked like a physical wreck. I mean,
no, I agree. But as you've said before, the game either quits you or you quit the game.
And well, he's going to quit the game.
Yeah.
He's smart.
No, I agree. He's smart, but
well, he looks at Elway. I mean, the whole idea was to go there and do this.
True.
Yeah, there's nothing to prove. It's over.
True. But, I mean, I don't know. Until he says those words, you're never just quite
sure.
Well,
he whispered them in Belichick's ear. We all heard it.
That is true. No, that's a good point. But, you know, he's keeping.
Yeah. That's the last rodeo on that Bronco.
I think you're right, at least on that one. But then you hear this stuff about, if you haven't heard, apparently the ownership of the Rams have been quietly, or not so quietly, been saying that they want to make a run at Peyton. Look, the Rams are in a new city. They need to, you know, they're not going to draw eyes to Los Angeles with Nick Foles.
Regardless what they're going to want to do, he's not going to be that foolish. I mean, you can see how he has, I mean, the follow through on the throws to get something on it. You see it in his face.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I mean, look.
He ended the game handing the ball off.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how they got to the Super Bowl, was through their defense and through a good enough running game. And that's what happened. You never thought you would have seen Peyton Manning be a game manager in the NFL, but that's what he became. And that's what gave him he's now the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl with two different teams, starting quarterback winning a Super Bowl with two different teams, only one. And that's a big, because the whole thing in the NFL is quarterback and coach. And you see, you know, Brady and Belichick, six Super Bowls together. You know, Starr and Lombardi and all their, was it 9-1 in their postseasons and all these other things. Noel and
then you see Joe Gibbs, Bradshaw, who did it with more than one.
He did with three different quarterbacks.
So how huge is that?
Yeah, that's big. How about the fact that Manning, he went to the Super Bowl four times, and each time with a different head coach. Now, that's pretty impressive, too.
And the result showed it.
The result absolutely showed it. Parcells went to two Super Bowls with the Giants, one with the starter and one with the backup. So, I mean, the best ones really show out. And I heard a stat, 70% of all Super Bowls have been started by Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers, guaranteed future Hall of Famers. So, you know, this is a game for the big time. I mean, the Super Bowl is what it is. It attracts a big crowd and it attracts
right.
a...
It's a single elimination tournament.
It is. And, you know, just to follow with the theme, every year the loser of the Super Bowl is looked at as an actual loser. Like, you're better off not going to the Super Bowl than losing. And here we have the Carolina Panthers losing. And
would you like them the first game coming out next year?
Yeah. Well, you have to open. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see. I mean, this was kind of a theme and something I've been talking about and others I've been talking about, too. Broncos 2 years ago, most of the team was embarrassed at Super Bowl 48 by the Seahawks, including Manning. And so they came. It's no longer a cool experience. They were there. They got smacked.
Right.
And this is business as usual. This is all, and yeah, the Panthers are first time. Wow, look at this. We got so boys, soak it all in. You might never get
now,
back
did
here.
Did they bounce?
The Panthers?
Yeah, because they had scored 118 in three games prior to that. Now, they had done it earlier in the year and came out and won 38-0 the next
right.
week. So this time, they weren't as fortunate.
Well, a lot of factors. Number one.
They came out throwing wild high.
Well, that's one thing. They were amped. They were absolutely amped, more so than the Broncos. That's number one. Number two, it's amazing, but the loss of Kelvin Benjamin, who they lost.
They went 15-1 without him.
I understand that, but who was the best defense that they faced during that time?
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't in their division.
Absolutely. Who had they played? I'm not diminishing. Look, an NFL team is an NFL team, no matter what you say.
It's a huge accomplishment.
Right, it is. But in this game, when you're going up against a defense that's...
What if you're the starting quarterback and you have your gold shoes on with MVP on them and you're in warm-ups with those on? I mean...
Yeah.
No, but it's kind of like Manning in that Super Bowl before, what you're talking about with the Giants.
Oh, 48, life, right? Yeah. Super Bowl 48.
And he was doing those commercials, right?
Which ones? Well, he always
Papa
does.
John's,
oh, he always does them. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's almost like a foregone conclusion
right.
that you're going to win, and it's a distraction.
Well, and I think that, you know, in recent times, I'd say post 90? Basically after Montana. Like,
right.
the Super Bowl is before Montana, during Montana, after Montana. After Montana, these big teams, 15-1, 16-0, really just dominating one side of the NFL, gets the Super Bowl, and they collapse. Of course, the 16-0,
yeah.
the unperfect
season. So they
leave
their fight in the gym.
I guess so, but I mean, the Vikings, remember the Minnesota Vikings, 1999
right.
or whatever, 98? I think they were 15-1. They had an amazing record.
Right.
And they lost in the championship game. So ever since, for the last 25 years, it seems like these dominating teams get there and they're upset.
Does that have to do with the 16-game schedule?
I don't know if it's the 16-game schedule. I don't know if it's all now, within these last 25 years, the added scrutiny of the media more so than ever before. Look, there's a lot of reasons. Maybe it's just the parity of the league. Or maybe it's just they've wisened up and say, look, we've got 2 weeks to prepare for this one team.
Maybe you're reading the clippings.
Oh, yeah?
And you're on top and everyone's telling you how great you
are.
Well,
I'm sure that's true. And I'm sure that's what happened to Cam. You know, we're coming out pregame, dressed to the nines. I mean, he started off the week. He brought it up. He said, nobody's seen a quarterback like me, basically saying, watch what I'm going to do. I've done all season. I'm just
right.
going to show everybody what I did.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, what he showed us on the field...
He wasn't mentally tough.
He wasn't mentally... I mean, when you see your starting quarterback, I don't care who it is, just is so upset, perturbed by a missed field goal that he falls down. And, oh, God.
Well, he should have fell down on the football when he had a chance.
He should have done that. That was an absolute mental mistake.
That was a business decision.
Right. But that happened when he's looking for the flag in the end zone, but in the fourth quarter.
And he pounds the turf like a two-year-old.
I know. He flopped around like a soccer player. That's the stuff that I point to and go, like, that's the problem. The post-game press conference, I can go either way. On the one hand, yeah, look, if I lost a game like that, I know I would probably be bawling my eyes out,
yeah.
but that's not me. So that's number one. But on the other hand, at the same time, you know, this is your thing. I mean, Russell Wilson.
Well, he's
hearing
in the behind him
the right.
press conference for
Chris
the
Harris, yeah.
So, you know, they're all excited. And,
right,
and,
but
yeah,
but,
I know, but
and having heard that, Chris Harris wasn't yeah. saying anything inflammatory.
Well, what did it do for his Madison Avenue opportunity?
It hurt. It hurt. Maybe not so much Madison Avenue, but I'll tell you, like, you know, not even Main Street.
But
USA.
I'm thinking endorsements and stuff.
Endorsements, it's not going to hurt, but it's going to hurt, you know, every Sunday,
yeah.
the ones who sit around on the couch and go, look at this guy. He couldn't do it in the Super Bowl. Are you going to whine and cry now? That's where it's going to hurt. That's where it's going to hurt. And, of course, the writers and all that stuff. It was unfortunate. I like Cam Newton. And I've said, I don't care who, like, not that I don't care who would have won this game, but I would not have been upset either way.
Well, you know, I mean, you got Cam acting like that, and then you got the, I mean, what happened to that running game, pounding, keep pounding? I mean, what are they?
They went away from that run
looked more
so
like
fast.
Chicken breast.
I guess. Pounded.
Pounding what?
I don't know.
Right. And what happened to the straight ahead running game? I mean, you got a fullback who ended up
why.
But I never saw so much lateral running with a guy with a bad ankle.
I know.
I mean, what are they doing? No north and south.
No.
I couldn't believe that.
Whitaker was only in a handful of plays. But
I blame Shula.
No, I do too. I do too. And he had such a resurgence this year. Right. I mean, this is a guy who used to be a college coach. I think, wasn't he a coach for the Bengals, I think, at one time? But basically, this was a guy who, you know, he's Don Shula's son, and he was just known as a never as good as his father. But this year, he had such a resurgence. Now, number one offense, and look at what he can do. And now he's just kind of all right.
Well, I heard a defensive, I forget who it was, for Denver saying that the Panthers didn't do anything that they didn't have on film.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't mix it up. They didn't change things up. They figure it's working. Well, let's keep going. There are some things you have to change.
You always need a plan B.
I know. But that's why I'm saying in this case, when you look at the Broncos defense,
right. First
of all, it's headed by Wade Phillips, who's been arguably one of the best defensive coordinators.
Except for 2014 when he couldn't find work.
Well, that too. But I mean,
that's the amazing thing.
Right, but he's one of those. He's had multiple head coaching opportunities, yeah. And he's an okay head coach. But he's a far, far better defensive coordinator.
Well, you still need the horses.
Well,
you
and
great jockeys
and
can't ride plow horses.
Well, this year they had some serious stallions, because
absolutely.
Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, that whole front line, and everybody was saying, "How do you keep?" I don't even think they had a spy on Cam Newton.
Did they?
Oh,
absolutely.
Well, most of those runs he went for,
that's
I was
what
like,
58 was doing.
Well, but he was.
He was spying. I saw it.
He was spying, but he was also trying to climb up. A spy
well,
usually.
Too.
A spy just usually
right.
traditionally
Cam Newton.
Right, but stays back in the in the secondary.
Yeah, well, he was doing that. He wasn't rushing every single play.
No, but he was
but,
there
so
every
mixed,
single
they
time.
They mixed it up like that, so he didn't have a
true.
Back door to sneak out of.
True.
But, you know, I saw 88. What is that?
Damaris Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking this guy's finished. I mean, he does not, what's the phrase, complete the process of a catch.
No, he doesn't.
So.
I'm wondering.
He's not like he's committed to the ball.
No, but I'm starting to wonder, like, the way he got hit in the game, I think there might be some lingering issues,
I'm thinking that. So many drops and alligator arms and stuff. I mean,
future CTE of America. I'm thinking.
So
it's unfortunate, but it is.
Football.
Yeah,
I mean, a great star like that. He started pretty much this whole year.
Right.
He was dropping.
Emmanuel Sanders was the better wide receiver for them this year.
Right.
And that's saying something. So, yeah. But I mean, look, the defense for the Broncos, very good secondary. Although Aqib Talib, it was like he was trying to get thrown out of that game. That was a very vicious grab of the face mask and torquing him down to the ground.
Didn't he have an issue with wasn't it last which?
No, earlier this year when he poked Dwayne Allen
in
the eye.
Yeah, it was this year.
You poke your eye out, and
right.
He did.
So yeah. his discipline broke down.
Oh gosh,
those penalties.
And then that first one, the taunting, where he gets up in the face and he takes the helmet off. Don't take the helmet off.
That, otherwise, I think he might have made it, because it really was the other
guy
that started.
It was fine, but he took the helmet off. Don't take the helmet off.
Now, how many times did you see Ginn step out of bounds? I couldn't
believe
it.
That was ridiculous.
There's another guy that doesn't want the contact, right?
Right.
So he's making business decisions out there.
No, yeah.
And again, you know,
it hurt them.
He was a special teams player for a reason.
Yeah.
But he's not maximizing.
And that comes back to my original point. The Panthers, yes, they went 15-1 during the season. But in one game where it really matters,
right. They
missed a big-time wide receiver. And Kelvin Benjamin.
If Newton was up to it, because look how many bad throws he had.
No,
so
you're probably right.
It would have mattered.
But look, they decide. But here you go in. if you're playing against the Patriots, you know, geez, Edelman, Gronkowski,
right.
Oh, we got to cover these guys, but they know that Brady doesn't move, so they'll attack Brady. Right. That was, but you look at the when they played the Steelers, that was also Brown's back. Did Brown play? No, Brown didn't play. But Wheaton and all these Bryant and all these other guys, and Roethlisberger can move a little bit, so that's that gave him the most trouble. Brady stood still, but he had really good wide receivers.
Well,
this time,
Roethlisberger is extremely brave.
Yes, he is. He's,
I mean, almost
he's,
reckless.
He's very foolish with his body. But here's a situation where the Broncos went in and said they don't have wide receivers. Their best wide receiver is a tight end.
Right.
So we stack man coverage in the secondary on these less than wide receivers. Jericho Cotchery used to be a Jet. There's a reason they got rid of him. Ted Ginn. Corey Brown, who almost knocked his head off. Did you see that? When he bounced off.
He was out of the game.
he was for a while, but he bounced his head off the ground. So these are nobody wide receivers. Our defensive backs are better. Man coverage, stack the box, go ahead, run it. They tried to run it. They failed. Cam said, I got to throw it. I can't run. And boom, Von Miller is your MVP. I mean, that's how they decided to do it. And it was smart. And Wade Phillips had those horses.
I saw the game with Darren in Atlantic City.
Right.
And he was saying the punter should be the, you know, and I laughed at first, and then I'm thought, you know, very logically that's true, because I think he had a 48-yard average.
Four times in the 20.
He might have had 2 or 3 yards returned on him, and that's it.
Not a single touchback. I actually, so they had the thing on the television where it said, like, you can vote for the MVP.
Right.
I
get it.
So I was like, and we were talking because we were hosting the Everyman Sports Super Bowl party.
Great.
And I was saying, and we were discussing the MVP. I said, look, this punter has been doing very well. Not to take anything away from Von Miller.
That's Colquitt?
Colquitt. I think, Colquitt.
It's a whole family of punters.
Yes. And he brought his toddler, had to pay, $18,000 for a ticket or whatever it was. So I was like, you know what? I want to vote for him just for a goof because it's unlimited.
I don't know about a goof. I mean, I think that's a serious
I think it's true.
Play.
Did I actually think that he was going to get?
No.
But he at least should have been given a game ball. But I go on to the site.
Right. That's part of defense.
And they have all the listed players. No kicker, no punter, not even a write-in. I wanted to do just a write-in. Again, are they going to vote for a punter for the MVP? No. However, you could have said for the Broncos, at least top four. He's in the top four conversation of if you're seriously going to give it to him. Because he did a great – he turned that field over.
Constantly.
I mean, even when they had the penalty push them back, they kept it away from Ted Ginn, and Ted Ginn is lightning.
A great returner.
He absolutely is. He's not a good wide receiver. And speaking of Ted Ginn leading up, because one of the prop bets were how many drop passes at Ted Ginn. Because
it should have been Thomas.
It should have. I think it might have been too. But Ted Ginn is not a wide receiver. Ted Ginn is a return specialist.
Yeah.
And so the fact that, and he was like, he was hurt by that. Like, I'm going to show everybody. I'm not just a drop pass machine. I'll show people.
Step out of bounds.
He's a step out of bounds. I'll catch it, but I don't want to get hit. But, I mean, that was a big run. That was probably one of the longest plays that they had, the Panthers, that passed again over the over the middle to the outside. Sure. He just runs out of bounds.
I know.
And this isn't the first half.
I couldn't believe it. He's saving himself.
Now, Ron Rivera, who has the nickname Riverboat Ron, he decided to just keep folding and hold and all that stuff. Two challenges in the first half at least.
Yeah.
Now, again, the challenge for the coach has been pretty much diminished to yardage and spot of the ball and possession. That's it, because they review turnovers and they review touchdowns or scoring plays. But to use both of your challenges in the first half of a Super Bowl game is just crazy.
Yeah.
Now,
he looked desperate, didn't he?
Of course he was desperate. Now, was that a catch? Was Jericho Cotchery's catch?
No.
I agree with you.
Point of the ball was on the turf as he turned it, and he needed that to happen to secure the catch. But the great part was that the analyst referee and
Mike Carey.
Yeah. He called it wrong. So how do you play this game this long and nobody knows what a catch is? I mean, but I like it like that, and I hope they don't change it because it allows this discussion. So we can be smarter than a fifth grader.
Not true.
You know? And yeah. So that's great, you know?
By the way, Mike Carey was another prop bet. How many challenges will he get wrong?
What was the over under?
Maybe not
on
how many will he get. I'm sorry, will he get a challenge wrong? It was like yes or no.
Oh, okay.
And actually, no was the plus. You know, you actually lost money if you took the yes.
Right, right.
Because he's been doing it all season. He's been getting wrong calls wrong all season. Right. And that was the first and last time he was brought up on that broadcast, by the way.
Yeah.
The first and last time he was brought up on the broadcast. So I thought that was very funny.
But does it hurt NFL's credibility?
Of course. But, I mean, the refs have been taking a lashing all year.
And the reason is, in my opinion, is because of the videotape.
Yes.
You don't allow these. So if I'm going to be second guess, I'm going to stop making decisions.
Right.
I'll let you make them.
It's part of the reason why the MLB umpires haven't okayed a lot of the, like, the strike zone, like, just letting the balls in. They have the Quest Tech, which showed, like, what really was a strike, what really wasn't.
Yeah.
But they're not going any further than that.
They're
raising the strike zone. You know, it's still the same size, but it's got now above the kneecap. Super Bowl 50. And we'll see what Peyton does, and we'll see what Cam does.
Cam reverted back to the quiet Cam.
Yeah.
He was two, three years ago.
Right. But even, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I like him.
Of course, he's great for the game.
He's great for the game, and he's an excellent player.
But mental toughness, you know.
Sometimes you just...
Emotional IQ.
Right. You know, you can't come out and say, nobody's seen anybody like me. Well, with a performance like that, we've seen plenty of it, but it's after you got off the field. That's a performance we've never quite seen before. So sticking with the NFL, Johnny Manziel... first of all, the Browns came out and said, without saying it, they're going
to
cut him.
Because they have to wait till the
day. I think March 1st is when they have to wait. But they said, like, look, he's not good for our team. And that's all we're going to say.
Well, and how about Philadelphia with Riley?
What do you mean? Oh, what about him? I didn't hear this.
He's cut.
Really? They cut Riley Cooper?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But, so, you know, I don't know if he's going to get rid of that I Love Chip Kelly tattoo or...
We'll see.
Because that was strange.
That was. But with Johnny Manziel, then it also came out, you know, that the Browns were actually sort of, what do you want to call it, helping along this sort of addiction and this destructive behavior. When he was sent home from practice.
He's an enabler?
Yes, and being enabled.
So now he's a victim.
Well, it's not that he's a victim, but it just shows that the Browns...
he's an idiot.
Well, of course he is.
But he's a rich idiot.
Well, yes.
His dad's
daddy's got a lot of money. The Browns, when he was sent home from practice that one time, and he said he was in concussion protocol, it was actually because he was drunk at practice. So, and they enabled it by saying he's in concussion protocol. So,
well, does management want to admit it publicly?
No, they don't. But that's why they have yet another new management with Paul DePodesta, the baseball guy, and another numbers guy. But it's still the same owner, whoever since he bought it. You know, the Browns haven't been that good.
Right.
But he seemingly made it worse.
The speculation is, will Jerry Jones be interested in
him? He's not going to be interested in him. No. Now it's all RG3. Now, if anything, RG3 is sitting, hey, this is great for me. Now there's not even a competition.
But with those Gumby legs, I don't give him much chance.
Well, you just have to be a backup, don't you? And I think, you know, Jerry's the kind of guy who's going to have three high-profile quarterbacks at one time. He's going to have Romo, he's going to sign RG3, and he's going to possibly draft this kid out of North Dakota.
Well, if you have three, you have none.
Well, for now, let's say that. So that's pretty much football, and we'll see. Oh, the futures came out for the NFL, and the Patriots are favored. They're favored
over
to win
the Panthers?
Yes. I think Panthers are second, Green Bay third. I think Broncos are like fourth or fifth, pretty far down.
Because of Osweiler.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. But look, defense wins championships, and another defense
did this year.
No, definitely did this year.
Last year, not so much.
No, definitely not so much. Moving on to the NBA, Phil Jackson fired Derek Fisher, his chosen head coach for the New York Knicks, with, you know, I mean, this is Derek Fisher. He had a year.
No, he's got time to duke it out with
Matt Barnes.
Over the X.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'd like to see the Knicks, you know, be competitive. I think it's better for the league.
I mean, this guy's getting $15 million a year.
Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$15 million, and mm-hmm. he can't travel. He can't do this. I mean, I never had so many excuses for him. And now they're going to run it. Who runs the triangle?
Nobody. Nobody
right.
does.
So who, what, I mean.
Well, he's going to get one of his guys.
So what was and not what is.
Right. He's not going to go for a big hype. He's not going to go for Tom Thibodeau or one of these big hope. He's not even going to coach himself, Phil Jackson. He's not going to go back down
can't.
There. No, with those
all these restrictions.
With those
other
backs
than he
and
wants
knees.
That check to clear.
Well, that too. Hey, somebody's got to rob the Dolans. They rob enough Cablevision subscribers. That's
oh,
for
I
sure.
I hear that.
So that's happening. There was a big trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs and I forget what other team. Big nine players going, which is a big, that's a
How
big
is
move.
How is it not the Maple Leafs?
It's Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Because if you're here, let me give you an example. If you play for the New York Giants, you say, "I am a New York Giant." If you play for the Maple Leafs, I am a Toronto Maple Leaf. So.
Gotcha.
But the Leafs traded their captain. Which over to the Senators, which is in Canadian trade, which I always think is I find that fun, you know, when Canadian teams
right.
trade with.
So what are they doing? Are they pairing payroll? Or are they going to youth movement?
I think they're going youth movement, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I'm very bad with this name, Phaneuf, Phaneuf.
Sounds
like it. But, I mean, the Maple Leafs of the original six, I think, have had the longest drought. Well, first of all, longest drought in the Stanley Cup, but I think the longest drought in even, like, playoff appearances.
Wow.
Ever since, I think, the 60s, they've been hit or miss. I would like the Maple Leafs because, I mean, Toronto's a very big city. It's basically Canada's New York. Absolutely.
It's a modern city.
Yes. But when the Toronto Raptors are doing better than you as a franchise, I think that's a problem.
Right.
I'd love original six teams. If it's an original six team, I'm behind them, and I think right. that they should do something great. But this is a case that's not happening. And, So I think that's pretty much it in the world of sports. Not too much else has happened other than that. It's all about the Super Bowl, and now it's a bit of a lax.
Yeah, waiting for basketball to pick up.
Waiting for basketball to pick up. The
Stanley March Madness.
Yeah, oh, March Madness is going to be big. And it's going to be so hard to pick this year because there's no top team. I mean, finally it's gotten down to Villanova as the number one seed, I believe. I mean,
really?
This is just a...
What about UConn?
I forget how UConn's doing this year. But, you know, so many teams have just fallen off in terms of the rankings. I mean, losses.
Right.
Losses I almost feel like they kind of look at losses in college basketball the same way they look at losses in college football. Like, sometimes you lose games. It's when...
Well, it can make you a better team.
It can make you a better team, and it only matters if you lose in March in the tournament.
Right, right. 'Cause
if you lose, you're out. So all you have to do
is
just
want to be hot late.
Oh, absolutely. You have to do that. But and the Louisville Cardinals have done a self-imposed ban in
because
of their
they would have been banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't fire me. I quit.
That's right. Yeah, Villanova is the first time they're atop of the Associated Press poll.
That's
which
huge.
Is a big deal. But yeah, so the Louisville
Cardinals.
Let's take a look. I don't know. See, the thing is, you hear a lot about these teams that UConn, Duke, Kentucky, and sometimes you sit there and go, wait, what? They're what? They're where? Who are we looking for? You're looking
UConn.
For UConn. They are in the. Where are they now? It's not the America, right? No. Yes, UConn. They're 17-6. That's good for third, behind SMU, who's ranked 16th.
Right.
And Temple, so, but Connecticut usually storms on late in the
right.
tournament. It's not
yeah.
even the Big East tournament anymore, but one of those tournament games to play into yeah. to the big dance.
They're legitimate,
yeah. So, but yeah, now we're just kind of waiting on baseball too. I mean, that's really the next thing. But February is a very quiet month.
That's good. You need a pause.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. But at the same time, you go all year and you go, I want more. I want more. It's almost like this. Well,
back in the day, you'd have a big boxing match.
It's true. But
boxing's dead.
Right. And not even billionaires can't get these guys to fight on yachts. Did you hear? Who was it? Klitschko and Tyson Fury were offered like hundreds of millions of dollars
right.
to have a rematch on, I forget the billionaire's name, okay. but on his yacht.
Right.
And they said no. So if billionaires can't get these guys to fight, then nobody is. So, all right. Well, Dad, thanks very much for joining me this week.
You're welcome.
I think we'll let you take a little pause. We'll come back.
Sure.
But we'll definitely, already have it lined up for opening day at Citi Field, Friday, April 8th.
Raise the banner.
Raise the banner, the National League champion banner. And so we'll definitely do a podcast with you there.
Great.
And anybody else who's there as well. But yeah, we'll be back next week with Alex.
Okay, great.
We'll give Alex some turns here.
You should.
Yeah, me and him will build our report.
Get the Brit in there.
And of course, you, the listener, may join as well by calling 626-427-7678. Since it's February and sports are taking a little bit of a pause, you can always join in and ask questions, make comments, whatever you want. You will be a part of the broadcast. Just call in 626-427-7678, and you'll be a part of it. All right, well, Dad, thanks again, and we'll see you later. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.